selfie generation. You know, I mean, everybody like to take pictures of themselves. I ain't getting on you because you take a lot of selfies. You know, don't they pastor picking me because I take selfies. I ain't picking nobody. I mean, that's the age we're living in. Amen. But, you know, you just can't fall in love with yourself. You're supposed to love God more than you love yourself. They will be boastful and proud. Demonic. Scoffing at God. Demonic. God is the one that loved you. He the one created you. Why would you want to scoff at him? Why would you want to ridicule him and make light of him and make jokes about him and have no respect and no honor for him, the one that created you? That sounds demonic to me. Listen to this here. Disobedient. That's a characteristic. Disobedient to parents, which means we're talking, taking another level, disobedient to God. That sounds demonic to me, living in disobedience. What about this one right here? Ungrateful. That's demonic, for you not to have gratitude. That's demonic inspired. They will consider nothing sacred. That's the devil. He don't consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. That's demonic. To not love people when God said that's the command to love one another. Unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. Well, to slander others, to malign others, to speak falsely against people, that's demonic. They will be cruel and hate what's good. In other words, the Holy Spirit is saying there'll come a time when people will call what's evil good and what's good evil. That's demonic, because that's perversion. They will betray their friends, be reckless, and be puffed up with pride, will love pleasures more than they love God. You see, you could see the influence of those deceiving spirits in these characteristics. And God doesn't want us to live that way. That's why I'm sharing it with you this morning. Amen. The only protection we have from the delusion that's present in our world is to be intimately acquainted with the Holy Spirit whom Jesus sent to teach us and to lead us and to guide us. And if you reject him, then you are laying your life wide open. You have absolutely no defense. I mean, that's a hopeless situation. If you just reject the grace of God, then there's nothing else left for you. The devil's just going to run over your life. And what would be sad about it is that you don't even know that he's doing it. Going through the motions, living day by day, but don't know that all the while Satan is calling the shots. And we've been delivered out of his hand. We got no business having no dealings with him. We should have, listen here, tell your neighbor, have no dealings with the devil. None. All right, tell them on the other side this time, say, don't give me a place to the devil. Now you got the power to do that. Praise God. If you focus on doing God's will, then you won't have time to sin. We have to be intimately involved with the Holy Spirit, because an intimate relationship with him will lead to an astounding revelation of Jesus Christ and what he's provided for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. In other words, when I allow the Holy Spirit to teach me, to lead me, to guide me, he's going to give me a revelation of Jesus Christ that just blow my mind, that will keep me on fire. Hallelujah, that will keep me passionate about Jesus, that keep me, I mean, just in awe. And I'm still growing in revelation. You know, recently God gave me a revelation about Jesus sitting at the right hand of the throne, that's where we're seated with him. Now, I've been knowing these things, but he showed me another side, that the reality of that is real, that our redemption is a reality in heaven. I mean, it's just as real. It's a done deal. I mean, ain't nobody in heaven wondering, Jesus, did you really do it? No, everybody up there already know it's done. So whatever he said about us here on earth and our faith is real there. And if it's real there, then I can have it here. I just got to find out what he did for me and then take it. And the Lord showed me that it's not a problem of us trying to talk him into helping us and talking him into doing things for us. It's a matter of us receiving what's already been done. It's just a matter of us receiving. It's not us pulling on God. Oh, Lord, please, please. The Lord laid the table. Jesus finished everything that needed to be done. Provided everything you ever going to need in life. Then he sat down. Hallelujah. Now he said, all right, I'll provide everything you need. Now take it. Yeah. Take all this grace. The Bible said, take all the grace that I've given to you. Receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, and you will rule and reign in life. So he's already done everything he need to do for us to be victorious, for us to win every conflict, for us to have his wisdom. He's made all his wisdom available to us, all of it. He said, if you lack wisdom, just ask me, but ask in faith, doubting nothing, and it's going to be given to you. There's no reason for you not to have wisdom. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. Peace already available. You just got to receive. Even our vision scripture, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. For what reason? Why I want to do all that? That they might receive forgiveness of sins, that they might receive inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith that's in me. He just wants you to receive. As many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. It's all about receiving. When in Acts chapter 8, when Philip went down to Samaria and preached and all the people repented of their sins and got baptized in water, and then they sent back to Jerusalem and said, hey, everybody that ain't received the word, received Jesus. And Peter and John came down there, and the Bible said, and they prayed for them. They didn't say, oh, Lord, give them the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord, we please pray. Oh, Lord, we pray for them. Oh, Lord, give them the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord, please give them the Holy Ghost. That ain't what they prayed. You know what they prayed? The Bible said, and they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. God had already gave the Holy Ghost. It's a matter of you receiving. Amen. If he could ever get us, and that's what he's doing, he's positioning us to receive if we would just listen to him. If we'll just listen to him. He's positioning us to a place where he can pour into us all that he wants to do for us. Because I'm going to tell you, God's got a big heart for everybody in here. Yeah. And he wants everybody in here to be blessed. He wants everybody healed. He wants everybody to have more than enough. Right? So he don't want you to be disobedient, because that moves you out of a place of reception. You start receiving from the wrong source. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Now go to John chapter 14. Amen. We need the Holy Spirit, and we have to stay full of the Holy Ghost. When you're full of the Holy Ghost and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you, then you have supernatural information. You have supernatural guidance. Supernatural words come out your mouth. Demonic powers are broken. When you're led by the Spirit, you start affecting people in the right way. Amen. Amen. You start loving people. You know, the fuller you get, then the more love you ought to have. Amen. You can't be getting closer to God and getting meaner and meaner.
That's right.
Why are you so mean now? I'm getting closer to God. I'm more devoted now. I'm more serious about my relationship to God. So you got meaner. So getting closer to God made you more meaner than what you are. You ever seen people like that? I'm just getting close to God. Now you can't even talk to them. Because they're so holy now, because they're getting close to God, that now you can't even talk to them. You can't even hold a conversation with them, Because they're not, they think they're better than you, or that they're more holy than you, that they're more serious, they're more devoted, they're more committed. And so that's that boastful, puffed up spirit. The more God you got in you, the easier it ought to be for you to get along. Because you got peace. You got the fruit of the Spirit. See, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, then the fruit of the Spirit is being generated all the time in you. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit is constantly renewing you in the fruit, that love, that joy, that peace, that long-suffering, that gentleness, that goodness. No, that's bad. Oh, that's good. That ain't going to make you mean. Not going to make you nasty. Not going to make you want to be isolated. The more God you got in, the more people you want to come in contact with. The less people you hide from when you're full of the Holy Ghost. Because another thing to go out your life is fear. Then you stop just being scared of stuff. Because the Holy Spirit is ordering your steps. So you learn how to trust it. You learn how to trust those leadings. And you know that you're going to be okay because, hey, the Holy Ghost told me to do this. When you start hearing his voice and he's teaching you things that he's hearing, he's revealing the Father's heart to you and what God desires for you to do, I'm going to tell you the greater and greater blessing that you're going to be.
Glory to God.
Glory to God in my heart. You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Psalms 160, verses 5 through 9. Now recorded are these words. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. And the Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I want to speak from the subject this morning. Trusting God is giving God thanksgiving. Trusting God is giving God thanksgiving. One of the things that I have found in my feeble studies of the book of Psalms is the fact that the writers, and they are multiple, have somehow dealt extensively with the issue of trusting God.
That's right.
Trusting God not in a temporary sense, but trusting God in a total sense.
Right.
there are instances and situations in Scripture, in Psalms, where they give God praise and they give God thanksgiving as a reflection upon their own hearts' experiences with God, where God, out of one thing or another, led them from bondage to captivity, led them out of defeat to victory, led them out of valleys to mountaintops. But their praise and their thanksgiving was based out of a temporary trust. A whole lot of us will trust God when it's comfortable to trust Him, when it's convenient for us to trust Him. But I've discovered it's really at those times that you don't really need to trust Him, because you have already seen what the end's going to be. The time to truly trust God, as God would desire that you trust Him always, but if you're going to truly put trust to work, trust must be put to work when all hope seems to be gone. Trust works like light in darkness. Trust works better when everything else fails. Light works better in darkness. And so if you're going to let your light shine, yes, it's good to let it shine in the daytime, but the best time to let it shine is at nighttime, when you don't have supporting light or illuminating light around your light. See, it's all right, even if we turned off all the lights in the building today, we'd still have enough light for you to see me, me to see you, and us to function like talking about, because we have what's called supportive light, meaning the S-U-N sun is shining. And it's all right in the daytime to let these lights shine. But then the hours will keep on ticking, and the S-U-N sun will move from our observance, and there will come a lesser light called the moon. And these lights will show up better and brighter when the lesser supporting light comes into view, meaning when it gets dark. And how many of you will know that you walk around your house most days and don't have to turn on the lights until it gets dark? Some of us, I've had the experience of going, God's blessed us, and we have housing and lighting, windows and all, where we don't even have to burn these kind of lights during the day. But God wants us to know that so many of us like the day. When things are well, we don't trust Him. And strangely enough, when things get bad, we very seldom trust Him. I found out that trust should be a continual participatory celebration of what you believe in God. So I found out, if you trust Him when it's good, and if you just keep on trusting Him when it gets bad, your trust will be right intact. I want you to see something here, because David is talking about some other things that I want to bring into play. He says, first of all, gracious is the Lord. Now, all of the things that he's going to say about the Lord, he is speaking experientially. And I think it is so wonderful, my brothers and sisters, when you can talk about the goodness of the Lord, but based upon your own experience. Because I don't care how many other folk get up and talk about how good He is and what He's done, it's not going to impact you until you have had an experience where you know for yourself, God's been good to me. So look at what David says. He says, gracious is the Lord. Now, he starts off by talking about graciousness because he has seen God give him liberty and give to him freedom in some areas in life where he, if God had not been gracious, he would not be experiencing not only life, but the level of life that God has allowed him to live on. See, how many of you know that God can let you live, but he don't have to let you live on a high plane? See, his grace will let you live. He'll give you another day, but he don't have to make it all well in the day that he gives you. So when he talks about gracious, it goes beyond the word grace, and it talks about a continual action of showing another level and a greater degree of graciousness. Gracious is the Lord. Now look at what he says. And righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. Amen.
Now, he starts off verse 1 by saying he's gracious. He ends up by saying he's merciful. But in the middle, he don't want you to forget he's righteous. Now, that's one of the reasons why, listen, that you've got to see the only reason why we get his grace and his mercy is because he's righteous. And he does not deal with us according to our own shortcomings. How many of y'all will be witnesses to that? How many of you will be honest and say, Brother Pastor, the Lord has not given me what I deserved? Lord, when y'all wake up here. Because hath the Lord given you what you deserve death, hell, and total damnation. But he looked beyond your faults and is still me. So he hadn't given you what you. Next time you hear somebody say, I ain't got what I deserve, you say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because if we had received what we deserved, we would not be in this place today. But his righteousness, Jesus Christ, is the righteousness of God. His righteousness came and provided a way for us to enter back into fellowship with God and to be in the presence of God and to experience the knowledge and the peace of God because he is righteous. Now I want you to see something else. The Bible says the Lord preserveth the simple. He said, I was brought low and he helped me. Now, again, I don't care whatever simple means in any terms and definitions, he means simple. Now, there are just some things that you've got to understand mean just what they say. Look at what he said. He said, the Lord preserveth the simple. Now, if you don't believe it, just think about how many times you didn't know how you were going to make it. You didn't know how to make it. Is that not a simple case of not knowing what to do, how to do it, where to do it, and when to do it, and yet the Lord preserved you? Well, even when you think that you got where you are on your own, there are still some places you're trying to get to that you can't get to unless the Lord helps you get there. So you're going to understand simple in the sense of having a low estate, having or being weak or limited in ability to get the total life's needs met for oneself. The Bible says the Lord preserveth the simple. He said, I was brought low. Not many of us choose to fall. Not many of us choose to take the wrong way. Not many of us choose all the time to be in the predicaments that we are in. But sometimes God allows those things to happen for our better good. Notice the word says, I was brought low and he helped me. Now, the fact that he was brought low meant that he himself did not totally and of himself make the conditions and or the situations. Sometimes circumstances come that way. If you don't believe it, just read the book of Job. Job was brought low. He didn't do anything wrong. Sometimes you will be brought low, not because you've been bad, not because you've done wrong, not because you've sinned, or not because you've missed it, but sometimes he wants to bring you low so he can lift you higher. And so he says, I was brought low. But can I tell you, when you are brought low, it has a way of bringing you closer to God. You think about the average one of us, when things are really going good in our lives and everything is well, how much do we really give to God in the way of praise? I mean, how much do we really take our time and make time to really give God the sincere praise of our heart? But let trouble come and let it unpack its bag at your door. And let it not go when you want it to go. And when the meager meals get more meager and it's steady eating up everything you got, just let trouble stay there long enough and it will drive you to your knees to talk to God a little longer than you would have talked to him if trouble were not around. Listen at this here. The Bible says, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Now he's saying to his soul, because you need to understand, brothers and sisters, that where you are not when Your relationship with God is not in a place where you are in constant fellowship with God. There is no peace and rest in your soul. If you depart from God, either by the turning away of your own desires or walking in sin, there is a separation. And when there is a separation, there is a restlessness down in your bosom. And you can't do anything to fill that void but get back in a right fellowship with God. And he's saying, now that when I was down and the Lord raised me up and brought me back in the right fellowship with him, he says to his soul, now return unto thy rest. Why? Because it is well. And if it is well, then you don't have anything to worry about. So he tells his soul to rest because, listen at this, the Lord has dealt bountifully with him. And when I think about that, my soul rejoices. Because if you can't say for yourself that God has dealt bountifully, what is bountifully, Pastor? Bountifully means to give you more than you ought to have. Bountifully means exceeding, abundantly, more, extra. And in this region, lanyap. It means to give you a whole lot more than you deserve. It's an extra helping of something. Listen, he says, God has dealt bountifully with thee. When you look back and see all of the times that the Lord should have cut you off, and he didn't cut you off, you need to say to your soul, he's dealt with me bountifully. How many times have you been driving down the road and could have been killed, and all you had was a little scratch on you? He has bountifully. How many times when you've been down and didn't know if you'd ever get up again, and you thought it would be the end, and he gave you another chance? He has dealt bountifully with you. How many times have you been sick and it could have been the end, but he calls healing to come back into your body, raise you up again? He has dealt bountifully with you. When you look back and see how God has dealt with you, I ain't talking about your loved ones, I'm talking about you. See, what bothers me so much, sometimes saints get in the church and they act like he ain't done nothing for me. I ain't really been all that bad. I've always been somewhat good. But can I tell you, somewhat good is not enough to get into the kingdom of God. You have got to be perfect. And because you were born in sin and shaping in iniquity, and you've been missing it ever since you've been here, the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. You got some sins you don't even know about yet that he's going to show you, and yet he keeps looking beyond them and blessing you. He's dealt bountifully with you. Oh, when you think about Thanksgiving Day and the eating experience, it is a day of bountiful eating. You got more food. You couldn't take just a little bit of everything on your plate in one sitting. That's why you got to come back again and take a little nap and come back up. Oh, come on, talk to me, somebody. It's not like any other day's eating experience. It's bountiful because it is a day where you're saying, God, you've been good. And just as the bounty on the table is spread out there, when you think of his goodness, every day he's got new benefits and new blessings, and he spreads them out on the table for you and says, help yourself. I went to a buffet the other day, and the only reason why I went there was because the sign says we got 80 items on the buffet. Y'all ought to hear me here. I like bounty on the buffet, and that's what God has done for us bountifully. Bless us. Look at what he says. Verse 8. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Now look at this, because I need you to see, David is not talking about somebody externally. no enemy outside at this point. He's talking about eternalities in the internal parts of his makeup. He ain't talking about the flesh. You know, he saved me out of hell or the hellish experience. He's talking about his soul inwardly now. He's talking about the reference to God saving him now. Look at this. He says, look at what the word says. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. He's talking about God forgiving him of his sins and bringing him in a right relationship with him and giving him the ability to have fellowship with him.